Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family-owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630. Welcome to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. I'm Chris Graham. I get to host the show with Jerry here. Jerry, it's nice to talk to you again. It's Wednesday as we're recording this, and we've got a game Friday night. So we've got to get in motion here to get folks ready for Friday night and talk about all the storylines heading into the game with Wake Forest.
Yeah, I hate these short game weeks. I wish they would just play on traditional Saturdays like they used to.
Because we have another one next week that'll make it even shorter when they play on Thursday night down in Miami. We have even less time to get ready for next week as far as that goes.
Can't imagine getting your football team ready on two short weeks back to back.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought going in, let's maybe start here. I thought going in, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was thinking, man, this is going to be so tough for Wake and so tough for Miami. They have one less day to prepare for UVA's offense. I'm calling it the kitchen sink offense because Robert and I throws everything, including the kitchen sink, at you. And that's still true. Wake has one less day to prepare for all the wrinkles that Robert and I will throw out at you. Miami still does as well. But now Bronco Mendenhall and his defensive staff have one less day to get the defense righted after that 59-39 loss to North Carolina in which the Tar Heels had 699 yards of total offense. So I guess that might work out to be a wash as far as that goes. Both sides have one less day to prepare for each other. And, boy, Bronco's got a lot to fix on defense.
He really does. That was one of the worst defensive performances I've seen in my 40 years of covering Virginia football. Last week, they couldn't tackle. They were out of alignment. They had missed assignments. There were so many yards after contact by Carolina's receivers and runners. It was mind-blowing. I don't know. I don't know how you fix that in just a few short days. Originally, I thought this 3-3-5 was a good thing because you had more speed on the field. But I'm beginning to wonder about that a little bit because they weren't that physical in training camp by not tackling to the ground. I wonder if all that kind of took its toll down in Chapel Hill. I don't know, but it's something is clearly out of line and. Gosh, I don't know. Can you fix that in a short week? I don't know.
I thought the same thing, Jerry, that you just mentioned there about the lack of tackling to the ground in training camp. And, you know, the first 2 weeks, it wasn't as much of an issue, but you're playing lesser opposition. And no offense to William & Mary or Illinois, but they were lesser opposition in those first 2 weeks. And then, you know, I did a breakdown here, Jerry. Pro Football Focus, I know you subscribe to it too. Man, I have just found some new parts of it that make me feel like, you know, I've discovered the Holy Grail as far as numbers you can really get to. Both passing game wise, you can get a breakdown of what teams do to attack, you know, passes at the line of scrimmage, basically wide receiver screens, 0 to 9 yards, 10, 19, and 20 plus play action against the blitz, against clean pressure. And then the run game, they'll actually give you a sense of how a team attacks the run game. And I'm going to try to do this real quick. Attacking the run game first, Wake Forest last year really attacked the A and B gaps. The A gaps are the ones on either side of the nose tackle. The B gaps are then more of the guards in either of those directions. Last year, Wake ran for 139 yards on 26 tries through the A and B gaps. Carolina really relentlessly attacked the A and B gaps. They had 392 total yards rushing last week. 231 coming in the A and B gaps. One difference that we saw Wake Forest last year, they went deep a lot, 5 of 9 on passes that went 20 plus yards through the air, 197 yards and a touchdown. Carolina last week didn't really attack deep in the passing game. Just 2 of 7 with Sam Howell for 74 yards, 1 touchdown. A lot of his damage, most of his damage was short. It was either the line of scrimmage. He had 6 completions at the line of scrimmage and then 4 more completions out of 6 attempts of less than 10 yards. But man, you know, what we saw last year in the Wake game, Wake won that game 40-23, was they attacked the passing game early, just like Carolina did. Carolina had a couple long touchdown passes, actually had 3 long touchdown passes, 2 that were short passes. They broke off into long runs. And then the long pass, I believe that was Josh Downs, the 37 yarder in the end zone. And that softened up Virginia's defense for the running game. Wake did the same thing last year. They got a couple of big passes early, and that softened up the defense for the running game. Usually teams attack it the other way. They'll run you, and then they try to soften you up for the passing game. Both Wake and UNC will do the opposite to you first. And so, I mean, Bronco and his staff know what Wake will try to do. They know what last week's tape will show them. They know what last year's tape with the Wake game will show them. I'm with you, Jerry, though. I don't know what you do to attack that or correct for that if you're Virginia.
Yeah, that's a good point you made about attacking the A and B gaps. And, you know, if you're a defense and you can't control the A gap, you're in big trouble. It all starts with the nose tackle, who has to be your best defensive lineman, because he has to control those 2 gaps there. And people are going to test you there. If you can't stop that, you got a lot of problems. Remember back to the military bowl game where Navy just gashed Virginia all day long through the A gap. Because if you can control the A gap as an offense, you can run through there at random. That opens up everything in your offense, so the play action, everything else. And, you know, while it starts with the nose tackle, you also have to have some pretty stout linebackers to be able to fill in those gaps to stop the run. And Bronco talked about how horribly they matched up with their run fits against Carolina. Well, that was a big part of it. And they've got to fix that, because that's Wake Forest bread and butter. And they just attacked Virginia there all game long last year and dominated the line of scrimmage. If they can't fix that by Friday night, they're in a world of trouble, because they won't be able to stop Wake Forest this time either. One of the most interesting stats of the year, I thought, popped up this week, and that over the last 4 seasons in a row, 2 teams in the ACC have averaged 30 points or more for 4 straight seasons. One of them is easy to guess. That's Clemson. The other is Wake Forest. I mean, that's some offense. And, you know, you got an experienced quarterback like theirs who likes that RPO option. And Sam Hartman can hold on to the ball forever and decide whether he wants to give it or take it. And if he's running that A gap and it's open, he's going to take it all night long and let his big running backs just – kill Virginia up the middle.
Blue Ridge Bank is the proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show and JerryRatcliffe.com. Founded in 1893, Blue Ridge Bank has more than a century of customer-based service, but is forward-thinking and features digital banking free and available 24/7. CEO Brian Plum and his team are strong supporters of UVA Athletics. And check this out. Blue Ridge Bank is home of the $100,000 jackpot drawing to one lucky customer every year. How can you beat that? Banking smarter, simplified. Blue Ridge Bank's mission is strong customer service. Make Blue Ridge Bank your bank today. Visit mybrb.com for more information.
Jerry, is this where not having Juwan Briggs back, he transferred to Cincinnati, and then Zane Zandier could have come back with the COVID redshirt year, but decided to try his hand at the NFL. Not having him back, patrolling the middle, along with Nick Jackson, who is back. Is this where not having those guys up the middle really rears its head for Virginia defensively?
I think it does, Chris. I thought the big guy, Briggs, I thought he was having an all-ACC last year when he decided out of the blue to transfer late in the season to Cincinnati. I thought he was all-ACC material in there, and he made a big difference. And Zandier is one of the toughest guys they've ever had at inside linebacker. And They definitely miss those two guys, and I don't think they have anybody quite like them to replace those two spots.
Let's talk about injuries. They kind of play a role here in the secondary, or maybe some good news about injuries and status availabilities for this week. Looks like Josh Hayes might be a go. Bronco Mendenhall addressed that on Monday. The North Dakota grad transfer cornerback could be a help in the backfield. Also, Nick Grant, news on Nick Grant. What's the latest on injuries, particularly defensively?
Bronco said that Grant would be back, and so would Joey Blunt, who had his arm in a sling, his right arm in a sling in the second half, or at least the fourth quarter when he came back out on the field after suffering a third quarter injury. But both those guys were supposed to be back. And having Hayes, that's a good thing to have another defensive back there with experience. And as well as Sam Hartman throws the ball, I still think they're going to need to find a way for that front six, I guess, instead of front seven to stop the run. They may have to move those safeties up a little bit to try to get the job done. And Wicks was dinged up a little bit, but he's back ready to go. Shouldn't be any problem. And Armstrong continues to have, I guess, a little bit of a problem with that lick he took on his leg against Illinois and wore a brace. I didn't notice if he was wearing one against Carolina or not, but they have decided to cut back on his runs a little bit. At least the pre-called runs where the quarterback keeps the ball, just to kind of protect him and keep him safe, because behind him, there's just really not that much experience.
Did you catch up with any of the controversy? I just noticed this today, Jerry, involving Joey Blunt and how North Carolina's coaching staff submitted some footage of a hit he had on, I think it was Josh Downs on a running play in the third quarter. Actually, the play where Blunt got hurt, that Carolina tried to submit to the ACC to say that Blunt should be suspended for a illegal hit. Did you follow any of that this week?
I did see some of that pop up on Twitter. One of the Carolina's players' fathers was retweeting that a lot. And then some of the Carolina fans were saying that Virginia has always been a dirty team, and some stuff like that. We're calling for some kind of punishment to Blunt. I mean, that's kind of football, but, you know, that happens. I don't think I've been covering Virginia all these years. I don't ever remember Virginia being dirty football players, and I don't know where that comment came from, but you know, that's football. I'm sure there's some of that that goes on just about every game, no matter who's playing. And I thought they were making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Josh Downs even said he didn't think it was, you know, that bad of a play. He said he didn't even tell his dad about it after the game Saturday night. And then a couple of days later, Mac Brown actually did address it. He addressed it this week and said he thought it was a bad play on the part of Joey Blunt. We know Joey Blunt, and he's going for a master's degree and pretty solid citizen and that kind of thing. So it's football play. Sometimes that happens.
He's a very aggressive player, and sometimes your aggression might get a little out of hand, or you might make a late hit or a blind hit. You know, if it didn't bother Hayes that much, I don't know why anybody else should be upset about it, or Downs rather.
Yeah, I watched the play a few times. I mean, it's, you know, to call it a blindside block. He wasn't blocking anybody. He was hitting a guy. Carolina Twitter blew up, as you mentioned, and they've got other things to worry about, I think, as far as that goes. They got to fix their defense too. We'll talk about why they got to fix their defense. Brennan Armstrong had a career day, a record day, UVA school record day anyway, 554 yards passing in the loss. You know, even with the loss, Armstrong's putting up some interesting numbers, obviously on a by far record pace for a UVA quarterback through three games this season.
Yeah, I noticed, I looked back and he has more passing yardage in three games than Don McAllister Gronkowski had the entire 1985 season for Virginia. And here's another really cool one, at least among Power Five quarterbacks. Over the past decade, Chris, through three games, there's only two players that have 13 touchdowns, 1,300 yards, 70% completion percentage, and no more than three turnovers. One is Patrick Mahomes. The other is Brennan Armstrong. And if you take out the completion percentage and the turnovers, the only other guy even close is Lamar Jackson. So he won the Heisman Trophy that year.
And then Mahomes is just Mahomes. So we know where he
goes
to.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting about this, and, you know, doing another deep dive, I did this, I guess, on Monday, looking through the Pro Football Focus numbers, again, those numbers about distance throwing the ball down the field. You know, sometimes you see a quarterback put up big numbers and then you have to do a dive and say, wow, I wonder where he got those numbers. And a lot of it's because a wide receiver screens or short passes in the flat that they break for long runs and they turn into passing yards. Not the case with Brennan. Through three games, he's actually third nationally in attempts of at least 20 yards plus downfield, the ball being 20 yards plus in the air. He's 14 of 28 on those passes for 473 yards. He's fourth nationally in pass attempts of 10 to 19 yards, and he's 26 of 33 on those for 479 yards. And he's third nationally in pass efficiency on those passes. So he's not dinking and dunking. He's throwing the ball down the field, and you saw that against Carolina. 20 yards down the field, he was 6 of 1,289 yards, 10 to 19 yard passes, 10 of 15 for 187 yards. He threw for 376 yards with the ball going through the air. He's slinging it out there is what he's doing.
He really is. He's got a strong arm. He has no fear. He has a lot of confidence in his receivers, and he has some really good receivers. Some of them who can go deep. I was trying to think of the last quarterback Virginia had like that. And I'm guessing that it was Schaub. I can't think of anybody else that was that successful throwing deep consistently like Armstrong has done. They had other guys that tried to complete him deep, but were not so good at it. The one guy that transferred from Alabama, Phillip, what was his name? Sims?
Sims, yes. I had to think about that, yes.
Yeah. I think it's because he couldn't read defenses and he would just sling it because he had an incredibly strong arm, but he always overthrew his receivers. But I think the last guy Virginia had that was that effective throwing deep was Matt Schaub, and look what he did.
Look what he did, yeah. He had a nice long career that just ended this past season in the NFL after I think he graduated from UVA in 2004. The offense, so obviously he's thrown the ball down the field. He's got some really interesting weapons. Dontavian Wicks, we heard so much, Jerry, really throughout his career at UVA, but injuries kind of kept him off the field for long stretches. But we heard again in the spring, hey, this Wicks kid, man, watch him in the fall. See what happens with him. He's putting up the numbers. He had a huge game against North Carolina and a very valuable guy. In the absence of Lavelle Davis Jr., Dontavian Wicks has become the go-to guy.
Oh, no question about it. And I tell you, he is as advertised. He's just been fabulous. It's hard to remember a guy who's been as effective as he is in going deep. Of course, Davis was last year, but other than him, you got to go back a ways to find a guy that could run routes as well as he does and knows what to do with it after he catches it. He's got good hands. He certainly doesn't lack any confidence. I know after the Illinois game, some of us were talking to him, and he said he believed he was the best receiver in the ACC, and he was going to prove it. And so far, he hasn't let anybody down. I mean, this guy is something else.
So also we heard a lot in the spring and then even through training camp about something that we haven't seen so far through three games. We were told that Bronco Mendenhall thought – he said this himself. He thought he had the best core of running backs that he's had in his time at Virginia. This is being his sixth season. And the offensive line is doing a great job protecting Brennan Armstrong. He's been under pressure very little, it seems like, through three games. And yet that same offensive line either isn't creating holes for the running backs or just isn't being asked to. I know there's a lot of chatter about this on social media, on the message boards about, could that help the Virginia offense to have more of a sustained rushing attack? What are you seeing, Jerry, as far as this through three games?
Well, I've always thought that passing numbers are generally losing numbers. I think you have to have a more balanced offense. A running game helps your passing game, particularly with play action, and it freezes linebackers or safeties, and it opens things up for the receivers. But I was disappointed they didn't run more against William and Mary in Illinois. I thought they had – those were perfect opportunities to establish a running game and give a future opponent something to think about. I understand why they shelved the running game last week, because they were playing from behind most of the game. And a lot of coaches, when that happens, they tend to just say, the hell with the run, we're just going to throw it. And that was pretty effective for the most part, but not quite enough, because Carolina didn't have to respect the running game. Mac Brown said it himself. He said, when you're one-dimensional, you're a lot easier to defend, and it's hard to win if you throw it every time. And he was certainly right on that spot. I was a little disappointed, again, that they didn't try to establish more of a running game in the first two games when they were clearly the better team. And two, I kind of wish they had gone to the run a little bit more early in the Carolina game, and maybe they wouldn't have had to fight from behind so much. But it's going to be interesting to see how they attack Wake Forest. Wake Forest has a really good defense as well, that really tore up Florida State last weekend, called six turnovers. So it's going to be interesting to see. I would hope that they try to get a little bit more of a running game going early.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boasts one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
I'll take you off the field for a couple of issues that will impact this game, could impact this game anyway. We've only seen, we saw 42,000 plus for the William & Mary home opener. We saw 36,000 for the 11 o'clock start with Illinois. So Virginia's averaging 39,000 a game, which is similar to 2016, 2017, 2018. 2019, Virginia actually averaged just under 48,000 per game. Still, in a 61,000-seat stadium, not capacity. They had over 53 times. I think they had 59 for the Florida State game back in 2019. I'm not sure. We're not going to see those numbers again Friday night. One issue is the Friday night game. It's a 7 o'clock start. Most of the parking lots won't be open until 5:30. Fans won't be able to tailgate. Our colleague Scott German is speculating that a lot of fans will just stay home if they can't get there and tailgate. You're not going to set a tailgate up at 5:30 and then be at a game at 7 o'clock. So Virginia did sell 29,000 season tickets this year. I imagine we'll see pretty good numbers for the Notre Dame and Virginia Tech games in November, but this is an issue. And this parking issue Friday night has been a really big issue, particularly on your Twitter. So take us through what folks are saying and kind of the back and forth on that.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a Twitter war going on amongst some of the people in my Twitter family. A lot of them are divided on the topic. A lot of them are saying that, if you're going to be a big time football program, you can't expect fans to show up at 5:30 and can't tailgate and get into the game and make it a real football experience. I see that part of the argument. So others argue, well, that's a Friday night game or a Thursday night game disrupts the whole university and the hospital and nurses and people that work at the hospital use some of those parking lots, and they can't clear out until at least 5 o'clock or something like that. And it's created a real buzz storm about why Virginia, a lot of ideas, some of them good, some of them not so good, but how can Virginia make this a better football experience for fans? They're not making it like, if you go to a lot of big time football programs, they don't have these issues, and they try to do things to attract more fans. Some people are arguing that UVA is charging too much for tickets in the upper deck, that they ought to give them away at 10 or 15 bucks a pop to fill the stadium, because nobody's going to sit there and pay those kind of prices. 800 bucks for a family season ticket, I guess, something like that. I'm not sure what the prices are, but it's brought up a lot of good points and a lot of critical points about maybe what's holding back the attendance. You know, there were years there where they were averaging, you know, like you said, 50, nearly 60,000 a game for a while. I know a lot of it goes back to that year, I think, when Southern Cal came to town. I'm not sure what year that was. It was during the Al Groh era.
2008.
They set the Scott Stadium record with, I think, 64,000 people, which was overflowing. But they had I don't know if they instituted it that season, or I think they did.
They took
away seats from people who'd had those seats for 30, 40 years to give them to people with more, who donated more money to get better seats. And they lost a lot of, I don't know, thousands, I think, maybe, of loyal fans who felt like the program betrayed them, and they haven't gotten those people back. And I don't know what it's going to take to get them back, but I know winning is a way to fill the stadium, but, you know, until you can win, average 8-9 wins a year, I mean, how are you going to do that? But they got to do something to make the fan experience better, to make fans feel more appreciated, and to get more fannies in the seats, because, you know, we've seen how fans can make a difference in a game. Look, the Carolina people said the Virginia Tech crowd was so loud and raucous that it affected the way they played. And we saw a little bit that last Saturday night down in Carolina to a degree. The fans were really into it, partially because some of the Virginia players called Carolina soft, and I guess that riled up the crowd. But, you know, fans do make a difference. And, you know, Virginia, I know, has been working hard trying to figure out ways to enhance the experience, but they've got to find some ways to do it. And, you know, it's a shame that this game is Friday night, because, you know, a lot of kids, a lot of parents have kids that play high school football all over the state, our family, and you know, they're going to stay with their kids or their family instead of, you know, coming to Charlottesville for another night game. I don't think the schedule has done Virginia any favors, having an 11 a.m. game a couple of weeks ago, now another night game on a Friday night. I don't know if UVA's program can do something and say, you know, can't we do something about this? We you know, it's truly going to hurt our attendance. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people stayed home. And it's a shame, because I think this is a fun football team to watch, and people would like to be there, but, you know, try to make it easier on them to come.
The last time Virginia had a capacity crowd or better was that USC game you mentioned, the Southern Cal game in 2008, the opener of 2008. They had 64,947 for that game. The official capacity of Scott Stadium, 61,500. So we had a lot of people on the hill apparently that day. We have not had a capacity crowd since. That's 13 years ago. One time we had over 61,000, the 2011 season finale against Virginia Tech. I went back and looked at every game. That's the only game over 60,000 since 2008. So, and we still didn't have.
And a lot of those were Hokies, probably.
A lot of those were, yeah. My wife, Crystal, and I actually decided to watch that one from the Hill. One of those rare games where I didn't sit in the press box. There were plenty of Hokies there that night. That was the night that Virginia was actually playing for a Coastal Division championship. Both teams were ranked. Virginia Tech won 38-0 in the midst of that long, long winning streak. But, yeah, you know, it does make it tough. It's tough to have a home field advantage, and this will be yet another home game without a significant home field advantage for a Virginia football team. And then you have to wonder, you know, they supposedly sold 29,000 season tickets, which, I mean, they did, which is 5,000 more than 2 years ago. But, you know, you also have to wonder how many of those season tickets were sold to people who are either Notre Dame fans or Virginia Tech fans or some combination of both. And you'll see a lot of their fans on November 13th and November 27th as well. So, you know, it was a very attractive home schedule back ended. And who knows if we even have home field advantage for those games.
That's a good point. I remember the last time Notre Dame played here, they had a lot of fans in the stands, and they bought season tickets. It's the only way they could get a ticket to that game. And so probably the same with Virginia Tech. I don't know. I a win this week over Wake would be good. They're a top 25 team. That would make Virginia 3-1, 1-1 in the conference, and going to Miami, where they, for the third year in a row, inexplicably, a place that they have played fairly well, but couldn't pull it off, couldn't really score. So, you know, if they could pull off wins the next 2 weeks, I think that would be huge for the program. They'd be 4-1 overall, 2-1 in the conference, and a chance to build some momentum.
So before we break down, maybe even offer our predictions on this game, I wanted to take our listeners to a story you posted as we're recording this just a couple hours ago. Bronco Mendenhall had twins on Wednesday. What's the story there, Gary?
Yeah, I thought Virginia pulled off a real recruiting coup here. The McKenzie twins from St. George, Utah, Dominique and Marcus, fantastic athletes, two of the fastest players in the state of Utah. They're ranked number 10 and number 11 overall recruits in the state of Utah. And they come from a BYU family. Their dad, Brian, was a really good running back for Lavelle Edwards' team. One of their teams went to the Cotton Bowl. So strong allegiance to BYU there. And their mom, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, Salote. I'm not sure.
I'll go with that with you.
Yeah. She ran track for the Cougars. And you know, it growing up there in BYU territory, they had cut a long list of suitors down to BYU, Oregon, where they were both impressed with their trip out to Oregon, and who wouldn't be? That incredible building they have there, and it's a great atmosphere at the stadium that I experienced a few years ago myself. And Arizona, which I didn't see the attraction there because they're not that good, but and Virginia. And so they announced today that they're going to be Wahoos. Dominique is a 6 foot, 160 pound wide receiver who led the nation in receiving yards last year in high schools with more than 1,700 yards. He's a track guy who's really fast, not quite as fast as his brother Dominique, a cornerback who's 6 foot, 160. He just broke the Utah state record in 60 meters and 200 meter sprints. I saw a video of that, and I think his brother was maybe right behind him. Marcus, that is. is the defensive back. So, you know, to take those two guys away from BYU and away from Oregon, I thought was a huge deal because they're coming all the way across the country. They visited Virginia in June and knew immediately that that it was going to be hard to beat Virginia, even though Oregon splashed all that fancy, God knows how much money, millions of dollars that Phil Knight spent on that building out there for players. And just the legacy thing with BYU. So Bronco really impressed them. They're both, I guess, members of the Latter-day Saints. So they're going to be participating in a two-year church mission. So even though they've committed this year, they won't be arriving here until 2024, which will be a real nice addition to that class. But Bronco showed them how he and his staff have helped players who've gone on missions come back and acclimate quickly back into the football program, like Wayne Talapapa did and some other of his players. And that really impressed them. And they liked the culture. They liked the way the UVA players had a family atmosphere, and naturally the academics were important as well. So I think a huge recruiting coup for Virginia to get two speedsters for the future.
They also liked one other thing. They liked a test that Bronco put them through. I liked how you added that to the story. Yeah. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, you know, I guess a lot of these guys, particularly the ones from out of state, may not be that familiar with Bronco having his own kind of ranch out in the western part of Albemarle County. And he brings recruits there. And one of the things he does is he puts them up on a horse. And because he's got his own little stable of horses. I don't know how many, but, you know, a lot of these guys have never been on a horse before, never been around a horse before. And so Bronco likes to see how they handle surprise situations and how they follow instructions if they don't know how to ride a horse, and you know, how they handle stuff like that. So he put them through a little test. He told them later it was a secret test that he likes to put some of these guys through, and apparently they pass with flying colors.
You know, when I read that in your story, I thought to myself, I probably wouldn't pass that test. I don't know if I've tried to ride a horse once, and I didn't do a very good job. So I might have had to go somewhere else to school.
I've been on a horse once in my life when I was a first year pup reporter, and I was having to do all kinds of crazy things other than sports to fill my time. And they sent me to cover a rodeo. It was a pre-rodeo story to try to get people to come out. And so the only people there when I got there were trick riders, a guy and his wife, and they said, "We're going to put you on this horse and teach you one of our tricks." And one of the things, you get up on the horse, you put your right hand on the horn, I guess, of the saddle, and you take your left hand and put it down in the stirrup, and you raise your legs in the air. So you're essentially riding the horse upside down. I didn't know what I was doing, but thank God the horse did. And so it took me around the loop a couple of times upside down. I was holding on for dear life. And somehow when we were through, the loop in my blue jeans got stuck in the horn of the saddle too. So it was quite embarrassing. I had to undo my pants to be able to get off the horse. So it was a one-time horse ride, but very memorable.
Mine is not nearly as interesting as yours, but just like you, as a young reporter and in between seasons, when you're a sports writer, when you can't write about football or baseball or basketball, and you got to write about something. They sent me out to cover the rodeo at Augusta Expo, and I actually ended up winning an award for it. So hey, I used to joke I'm an award-winning Chris Graham, the award-winning rodeo writer. Yeah, no, all I did was get on the horse. They didn't make me do anything with the horse, just get on the horse. I knew already, I'm not good with horses. I'm not good with motorcycles. Just get me in, you know, something safe here. And apparently neither one of us apparently were UVA football material from that standpoint. But the McKenzie twins are, and that's big for Bronco, a big coup for Bronco. So, hey, let's look at the game this Friday night now. So we've done all the analysis we can. I've got the odds up here. Virginia is still a 4-point favorite in this one. So what Vegas is saying is Virginia would be a 1-point favorite on a neutral field. Wake would be a 2-point favorite at home. That is what it is. What are your thoughts, Jerry, about how this one might play out?
Well, obviously Virginia has a great record at home. That's a priority in this Broncos program. They're 19-2 in their last 21 home games. That's very impressive. I guess those two losses were to Notre Dame and NC State. I'm a little concerned about the crowd, whether it's going to feel like a home field atmosphere or not. Hopefully fans will come out and help out, but I think it's going to be a real challenge. You talk to Bronco and you look at what Wake's done under Dave Clawson. Bronco thinks Dave Clawson's one of the best football coaches in the country. And if you look back at it, Wake's been pretty good in hiring, but they had Jim Grobe, who Bobby Bowden used to say is one of the best football coaches in the country, maybe the most underrated coach in the country when he was there. They both had sort of unique systems that they ran, and Clawson certainly does. I don't know what you would call it. It's different than – I don't know that there's anybody else in Power 5 that runs a system like he does. It's kind of an RPO, but not really. It's kind of an option, but not really. I don't know how you would describe it, but I think one of the keys is he's had a really good quarterback every year, and Hartman that certainly is. He's very underrated, I think. He's a really good quarterback. They usually have good running backs, and again, they find ways to. Bronco described it as they always leave one guy on defense in peril because I guess they're freezing people with Hartman holding on to the ball, like when they attack the A gap or B gap, and he's excellent at reading whether to hand it off or pull it. And pull, maybe run it himself or throw it. It gave Virginia fits last year. I mean, fits. And it did the last time they played down at Wake Forest, too. I think it's going to be a really tough ball game. And I wouldn't be surprised if it came down to whoever has the ball last. I really do.
Yeah, the over-under on this one, I just looked at this, 68.5 is the second highest over-under for the weekend. And the only one that's higher is Maryland-Kent State. And Maryland's a 14.5-point favorite with a 69.5 over-under. The Wake Virginia over-under is 68.5. So that presumes a score somewhere around 36-32 or something like that. That's going to be – Vegas thinks it's going to be a lot of points scored. And it will be. There will be a lot of points scored. Virginia's going to have to – Jerry, you said this before the season started, that Virginia – the offense would have to be prolific because they would have to outscore some teams to win some games. And we didn't see that the first 2 weeks against overmatched foes, but we certainly saw it in week three. I'm worried, too, about what Wake will be able to do offensively. They were so good. Hartman was so good last year in play action. He had big numbers in play action. Sam Howell last week, huge numbers in play action, 13 of 19 on play action passes. When you can run as well as Carolina did last week, when you can run as well as Wake does on a regular basis, did against Virginia last year, and you're also not, good at run defense like Virginia, it makes you have to account for that more. So Wake will score a lot of points. Virginia will have to score a lot of points as well. And that's just what it's going to come down to. I'm with you. It'll come down to the fourth quarter. It'll come down to either the fourth quarter or whoever makes the first mistake. In Virginia last year, fell behind big early, just like they did against Carolina last week, and had to play catch up ball all the way without Brennan Armstrong last year.
They couldn't really throw the ball. Yeah.
Just like last year, actually.
Yeah,
just,
Virginia couldn't really throw the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Virginia rallied and tied it at halftime 20-20, but kind of ran out of steam. We saw that this year with the Carolina game last week. Got behind early, came back, took the lead at halftime, kind of ran out of steam second half. If Virginia can avoid turnovers, figure out how to tackle, They may win a track meet, but that's how it's going to have to be for Friday night.
Yeah, and Wake is going to test them for sure with the run game. They rushed for 225 yards against Florida State last weekend, and I'm sure they're going to test Virginia early and often to see just how much damage they can do between the tackles. And Virginia better tie it on. They better be ready because Wake's coming at them, and you know, they're going to have to be a lot more physical than they were last week in Chapel Hill.
A lot more physical, which is to say even physical, even slightly physical, because they weren't physical at all last week, despite what Amandi Alonso had to say before the game. And, you know, we'll see if the crowd can be a factor on Friday night. Night games are usually electric, and we'll see if Virginia can create that atmosphere this Friday night. So, well, that's about all we can do to get you ready for the game. We've talked about the parking situation.
Yeah, at least the fans will be.
We did our best there, Jerry, I think, as far and getting you ready deep dive into the game offensively and defensively. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I think we gave them a good preview of the game, and hopefully people will show up and support their team this Friday night. It's a huge game. Virginia needs this win really badly.
Hey, as we're signing off, we got one more podcast to do this week. We've got the Good Health Podcast that we record on Thursdays. What's a sneak preview of what we may have in store for the listeners this week on the Good Health Podcast?
We'll have Charlottesville's running guru, Mark Lorenzoni, to update us on all of the great running news in Charlottesville and University of Virginia. I think they had some action this week themselves. We're going to have one of the doctors from UVA Orthopedics. I think he's a spine specialist, so not sure what exactly the topics are that he's going to address yet. We're going to be talking to him tonight to find out. But I'm sure it'll be very helpful to our listeners out there, because these doctors deal with more of you than they do athletes. So you might want to tune in if you have any kind of spinal issues. And we have, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, but from ACAC, we're going to have Lisa Sandvig. I think that's right. S-A-N-D-V-I-G. She's the personal training director in Richmond for the ACAC gyms down there. She's an NSCA certified strength and conditioning specialist, certified health coach, and fitness nutrition specialist. Wow, that's a lot to be specialized in. So she's going to be giving all kinds of great health tips for all of our listeners out there. And I have to give myself a plug here. ACAC is one of our new sponsors. And if you've been flirting with going to a gym and trying to get your health back under control, getting in shape, lose a few pounds and get stronger, eat better, etc., go to jerryratcliffe.com, look up the ACAC ad, click on the code Jerry, fill out the form, and you can get a 3-day free membership at any ACAC in Albemarle County. And believe me, it can change your life. So give that a try.
Good stuff there. Well, I always learn so much from those Good Health Podcasts. And of course, we're participating in them, but I learn a lot. I take notes, take mental notes, and implement a lot of what we hear on those podcasts. So it's
always me too. Good, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good thing. Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing you Friday night, Jerry, in the press box. It's going to be chilly. We might want to dress in layers, but I look forward to seeing you Friday night.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to bring some extra clothes because it's supposed to turn nasty. I guess football season is here, right?
Football season. Yeah, I hope they turn the heat lamp on for us. We're in the open air part of the press box, which is great. But when the sun goes down, it's going to be cold up there. We're not used to this yet. So, hey, Jerry, thanks for all your time on this, of course, as always. And look forward to seeing you this weekend at the game.
Absolutely. See you then, Chris.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryratcliffe.com or at AugustaFreePress.com.